God, who can do everything, who knows everything, who's everywhere present, and he's not good. That is terrible. You don't want that kind of a God. You want that God, but you want him to be a good God. And this good is a problem with many of us. What do you mean by good? Well, I think goodness is probably one of the most misunderstood attributes of God. God is good. The Old Testament affirms it. The Old Testament says this in the Psalms. Several Psalms say this. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's Psalm 33:5. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm 34:10. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. 86:5. And you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. 107:8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. 18:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. 49:9. The Lord is good to all. Do you think that means the Lord is good?
Yeah.
The Lord is good. The Old Testament tells us that. That's a good evaluation of goodness. Then there's a definition on the goodness of God. Good means, intrinsically, it means holy, honest. Those things are good. But primarily in Scripture, God is the God who treats his creatures well. That includes love, mercy, grace, compassion, all of that for God. But then there's a hesitation about God. Oh, I know all that is true, but some people have a little hesitation about that because they question whether God is good in some areas. For instance, unbelievers. You'll hear people say, well, if God is good, can he stop war? Oh, yes, he can. Does he know about the war? Yes, he knows. He's here. Well, why do we have wars if he's good? Well, that's a misunderstanding of God's role in his creation. Crime, same thing. Disasters, that's closer. Disaster, we had a hurricane. Where was God? And you hear people say, if God is good, why does he rip the top off my house? You know, that kind of thing. Well, all of that gives some people a bit of a hesitation about the goodness of God. That's the unbelievers, right? You wouldn't do that. Believers have the same thing. In context here, the trials and temptations of a believer. What about that? Is God good in that? Well, James had had occasion, and he felt that he had to tell them about that in verse 13, just previous to this. He says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Your temptations don't come from God. See what I'm saying? Oh, I get a temptation. It's God's fault. No, no. God does not do that. And he goes on in that passage to say, you are led into temptation by your own desires. It's you, not me. It's you. That's the whole gist of that passage. Just prior to this passage. So, they're saying that a God who would tempt to evil and then would lead them into death, that's not a good God. So, evaluation, definition, hesitation. Now, situation, the situation surrounding God's goodness. We're into our passage now. Verse 16 of chapter 1. Verse 16 says this, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Now, the Greek construction there is not so much don't be deceived as stop being deceived. They were being deceived. And he wasn't telling them don't get into it. He's saying get out of it. You're in it. Stop being deceived. Because it's a current problem with them. And he knows it. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows it as he speaks through James. So, that leads us then to our first point, James' first point, in verse 16. And he says, he's writing, remember, to beloved brothers, verse 16, my beloved brothers, and even beloved brothers can be deceived. It doesn't have to be somebody way out there, somebody never heard about God, whatever. No, be people who are brothers, who are beloved brothers. They also can be deceived. In fact, here they are being deceived. That word deceived is interesting, where he talks about the, it means to wander. Don't be deceived. Don't be caught up in wandering away from God. It's a word, planao. We get our word planet from that. Well, how can planet be a wanderer? Why, planets go around the sun. Oh, it's the sun they go around. Up until the 16th century, they thought that the universe was a geocentric. Everything revolved around the world. You know? Well, is that unusual? Doesn't everything revolve around you? That's it. We are geocentric. What they were over here like this. And they were saying, look at those things going around there. Sometimes they're going this way, and sometimes they're going that way. How can that be? They're wanderers. So they named those planets wanderers. If they could have gone from over here on the Earth, over here to the sun, the real center of the universe, oh, look, everything's going around fine. See, when you get the idea that God is the center and not you, things straighten out quite a bit. Well, they were saying they were wandering like the planets. So he says to them, brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turn him back, this is James 5:19, he's going to say that. If anyone wanders from the truth, someone should turn him back. Matthew 24, verse 5 says, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. We are closer to that than we ever have been before. That's coming. People are going to be, are saying, will be saying, I am the Christ. I am the one. People already are saying, I know when he's coming. Remember that one? Several times. We had one recently. And the man, after he was wrong the first time, said, oh no, it's next week or whenever it was. And nobody paid a bit of attention to it. Finally. Anyway. But deceivers are around. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters, really charlatans, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I saw that and thought, seeing, deceiving and being deceived? Are these deceivers themselves deceived? That's what it says, I believe. And I checked a few commentaries because I don't want to get out on something new without a little help. And sure enough, that's what they saw too. That they believe what they're saying. It's hard to fathom sometimes. They're saying that. I hear people preaching here and there. They believe this and this and all that. I'm telling you, I don't know why God doesn't strike them dead. But I think they believe it themselves. So they are deceiving and being deceived. John, chapter 1 John 2:26 says this, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So deception is out there. Stop being deceived, he says. And then he talks about the danger of deception. He says, if you wander from the truth in the Word of God, there's no criterion of truth. If you say, I'll put the Bible aside, I don't accept the Bible as truth. Oh, there's some truth in it, maybe, but it's not truth. Where are you going to go for truth? If you don't have some kind of criterion of truth, you have no way to check up on what people are saying. Do you notice that? There's no way. You have to go back to some criterion of truth. If you're doing a math problem, math people, if you're doing a math problem, and there are not two ways about anything. You can say, well, two and two could be four. Well, maybe it's five. You know, who knows? You go back to the source. And the source says it's four. That's what it is, four. You can prove it. The way you prove truth in all over the world, really, is through the Word of God. If someone says, I believe this, Then they say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God properly interpreted. And rules of interpretation are there. But what I'm saying to you is that if you don't have that, you err from, depart from the Word of God, you have no criterion of truth. And then you're left on your own. Remember, the Jews, they left the Word, the law of God, they had it all laid out. And they were the ones who were to give it to the world. Well, they developed all kinds of things. Rabbis had this idea and this idea. This rabbi disagreed with this rabbi. If you wanted to prove something, what'd you do? You list all the rabbis on your side. If you had more rabbis than anybody else, you had it. You're true. That's the way they were doing when Jesus came on the earth. Jesus came on and said, thus says the Lord. What? What rabbi is that? No. The truth had to be from the Word, Jesus said. They didn't believe him. You don't have enough rabbis. See? So, you say, well, those crazy Jews, look what they did. But you know what? We have traditions as well. And some of our traditions do not square with the Word of God. They contradict the Word of God. We have to watch that. Well, the church has always believed, sorry for the church, the Word of God says it's not true. Right? And that's what we need to see. So you have to go back to that word. Don't wander from the truth of the Word of God. Now, the church. You don't mean the Baptist church. You don't mean Southern Baptist church. It happens. It happens everywhere. Be careful departing from the Word of God. So, there's a danger. Now, departing from the Word of God, they come up with a doctrine of deception. This concerns the goodness of God. And that in that area, they say, God is not good. That's their doctrine. From the Word? No, not from the Word. We decide, we've seen this and this and this and this, and God's not good. It's like the other gods. You know, the other gods were like that. They tricked the people into doing things, and then the people sin. He enjoys punishing them. That's a bad God. And that's what they thought they had. God, and James says, God does not tempt with evil. So there's a deception concerning the goodness of God. Then he has a declaration about the goodness of God. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. God's gifts are good, meaning they are complete. You would expect God to say, James to say, God gives good gifts. But he says more than that. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. You can't get a good gift and a perfect gift except from God. That's what he says. If you had anything good happen to you, God did it. Right? Now, you mean God will come down and hand me something? Well, no, not directly most of the time. Reminds me of the widow lady who was praying in her house with her window open, and she was praying for a loaf of bread. Lord, send me a loaf of bread. And some ne'er-do-well boys heard her, and they went down and got a loaf of bread and brought it back, put it on her doorstep and knocked on the door. Your loaf of bread is here! And ran and watched. And she came out and said, oh, thank you, God, for my loaf of bread. And the little boy stood up and said, nah, it was us, it wasn't God. She said, God sent it even if the devil did deliver it. Well, that's what happens. Sometimes God brings us the good things, but it comes from him if it's a good thing. That's what he says. So, other gifts, other than the good and perfect gifts, are not from God. That's what he's saying. Now, his gifts are complete. His gifts are also continual. James uses the present tense here, God's gifts. They come, it could be either continually, one after another, or could be all the time, or it could be again and again. It seems to me both are true, that there's just no end to God's giving. He gives continually. He keeps on giving. There's a hymn, you know, me and hymns. There's a hymn, "He giveth more grace." And the chorus goes something like this. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's a great hymn. And that's true. See? God keeps on giving and giving and giving because he's a good God. Now, his gifts are complete, continual. They're also complementary, meaning you don't have to pay for it. That's why they call it a gift. People amaze me when they think that, well, salvation is a gift. Oh, it's a gift from God. And here's what you have to do to get it. What? How did that be? Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a" what? "Gift of God." See? Gift. You don't get anything from gifts. It's from the word from which we got a Greek word, from which we got our word donate. Doma is a gift. Well, it's a gift. And it comes from God. Now, all things come from him. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" See? When we were enemies of God, he gave us salvation free. Now that we're his friends, how much more do you think he'll give us? That's what Paul's argument is. So, his gifts are complementary, but they're also certain. It comes from the Father of lights. He's a creator of the heavenly bodies. And they change in their gifts, he says. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Now, what I'm saying then is, he's the creator of those heavenly bodies, the lights, the light givers. And they change, he says, they change in their gifts from warmth, and light, because of the shadows that are caused by turning back and forth. The sun rises and causes shadows. That reminds me also of a Robert Louis Stevenson poem about the shadow. I have a shadow that goes in and out with me. And what can be the use of him is more than I can say. That shadow sometimes is real tall, sometimes real short. That's because the lights that God created change. And there's a shadow of turning with them. But with him, God does not change. There is no shadow of turning with him. He doesn't change at all. Malachi says it this way. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews picks up on that. 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So, the gifts of God are certain. Now, we've talked about the deception, the declaration. Now, the demonstration. How do you know God is good? Here's the demonstration right here in verse 18. The basis, the demonstration is God regenerates all who believe. That's how you know God is good. Anyone who believes will be regenerated by God. And apart from Jesus Christ, you're dead. You know, Ephesians 2:1, that we were in sin. Dead in sin and trespasses. Sin. Dead. If you're dead, what do you need? You need life. And that's what God does for us. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, he has made us alive. That's regeneration. So the basis of regeneration is God's will. Isn't it great that you're regenerated? You know Jesus Christ. You believe on him. You are regenerated. You're given life. You are born anew. Well, how did that happen? By his own will, he brought us forth. By his own will. Oh, well, I thought maybe he wanted us to. He's lonely up there. You ever hear people like that? People say, oh, well, the Lord took her and because he was lonely. Well, that's a nice sentiment. I have no problem with that. Except that God is not lonely. He was not sitting up there thousands of years ago saying, I wonder what I'm going to do with myself. I think I'll create man. Have you ever heard that explanation? God was lonely and he thought, well, I think I need somebody to help with me. So he created man. Not so. God is not lonely. He just did it by his own will. He did that. He decided to do it. We have no claim on him. We deserve death. We sinned. We deserve death. And nothing can change that except the will of God. Yet he chose to save us by his own will. It was God's idea, not yours, God's. We've had the basis of regeneration, the nature of regeneration, birth. He brought us forth. That's it. That's how he did it. See, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he gave us life. When we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. It's that simple. He chose us. It was his idea. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. John 3:16, you all know it. You know how it goes? It goes like this. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Everybody says, oh, wonderful, wonderful. But have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? It lasts forever. That's everlasting. Yeah. When a person believes, he receives eternal life. Nothing he does can change that. Nothing anyone does can change that. He has eternal life. It's called the new birth. It's not a patch job. God doesn't say, well, you're pretty good over here. I think I'll leave that. I'll do something here. No, a brand new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a brand new generation. So the basis of regeneration is his will. The nature is a new birth. He does that. The means of regeneration is the word. For by the word of his truth, he brought us forth. By the word of truth. Now, remember in Genesis, you don't remember there, but you remember reading about it, that when God started out, God said, let there be light. The word of God spoke forth. God spoke the universe into existence. He didn't say, I think I'll make this and I'm going to make this. No, he spoke it. And all the billions of things that are there were spoken by God at one point in time. In fact, it was the first point in time. Yeah. Everything was spoken by him, and it's there. Forget that creation stuff. accept the creation stuff. Forget that evolutionary stuff. Yeah. God spoke it at one point. It all happened. Guess what? That same word he spoke to us. The second creation is just like the first. It's a creation by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, by the word of truth, that is the gospel, we must see it or hear it. There's no salvation apart from either hearing the word of God or seeing the word of God. Nothing can happen. There's no other way. Wow, if that's the case, how are they going to hear it? Oh, I know. Go into all the world. Tell them. Because apart from knowing that word, they are lost. That's why we have missions. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. the basis of regeneration, the nature of regeneration, the means of regeneration, now the scope of regeneration. We are his first fruits. We are the first fruits of his labor. Now, what do you mean first fruits? Well, the first fruits are the part that says there could be more fruit coming later. Now, the first fruit, oh, we gather this and that, this is, there'll be more first fruits and more first fruits. Well, we are the first fruits of his creation. Now, the early church then was the first fruits of all the church. There was in that first regeneration the seed for all of the regeneration. In fact, you could say, the regeneration is the first fruits of many more generations of regeneration. You know, it's coming. We're there. That's what we are. And we're a part of that chain, regeneration, passing it on to others in regeneration. See? Now, we are his first fruits. Now, only a good God then would do all that for his enemies. Yeah, we were enemies. Now that we are his friends, think of all that God's going to do and does for us daily. And we have to allow him to do so. Now, you say, well, just in this life? No, not just this life. Afterward, this life is a very small part of what God has for us. We look forward to the time when we will meet the Lord face to face, the judgment seat of Christ, then we'll have meted out to us the things that we have earned. Don't earn eternal life, but you earn the opportunity to serve the Lord in his kingdom forever. That's going to happen. Even that will be given to us for obeying and allowing him to work through us. Now, question. Have you met this good God? Do you know him as a good God? See? If you're a believer, you know him as a good God? If you don't know him at all, you know he's a good God. He's a good God because he wants to give you that salvation. Eternal life. Never ending eternal life.